Amen. Corny jokes, huh? Now, whether you guys have been coming for a little while, whether you're visiting today, or you've been here the whole 9-year journey I've been here, how many of you guys could say that, okay, let's be truth. We're Christians, supposed to tell the truth. I can tell a couple bad corny jokes once in a while. You know, anybody? All right. Praise God. Every single hand went up for some strange reason, right? And for me, apparently, I consider it a gift. I really do. Okay. And for those of you who don't think it's a gift, well, I'm here to help you out. Because believe it or not, I think I came across the worst, corniest, bad jokes ever, right? And I've got to share them with you so you can appreciate the gift, right? You tell me how bad these are, right? The dumbest jokes ever. You guys ready? Yeah, I'm excited. Here's one right here. Hey, is it true that crabs don't give to charity because they're so shellfish? Oh, I told you they were bad, and it gets worse as we go. Hey, what's the best way to watch fly fishing tournament? It's live stream, baby, right? Think about it, right? Hey, what do you call 50 pigs and 50 deer? John, $100,000, right? You're a hunter. You know the routine, right? Hey, a man walks up to a beekeeper. He asks for a dozen bees, to which the beekeeper replies, sure, I'll throw in the 13th as a, wait for it, freebie. You got it. You saw it coming. That's right. Hey, what's brown and sticky? A stick. Hello. That makes sense. You could use that all day, even at lunch. Hey, what do you call a fish with no eye? Put that in your pocket for later. Pull it out at lunch. It'll make sense in about 3 hours. Okay, and you can share that with the waitress. All right, hey, a man got hit in the head with a can of Diet Coke, but he said, hey, don't worry, it's a soft drink. All right, hey, a guy walks up to a hostess and she asks him if he had reservations. He said, no, I'm confident, I don't want to eat here. All right, that's right. Hey, is it true that the rotation of the earth really makes our day? I mean, it does mine personally. Yeah, I think about it. Hey, one guy said to his friend, hey, cheer up, man, it could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole full of water. I know he means well. If you think about it, really. I mean, today my son asked me, hey, can I have a bookmark? I burst into tears. 11 years old and he still doesn't know my name's Brian. Bookmark? See, if I have to explain it to you, you're ruining the whole moment, okay? Get with it, people, okay? Hey, here's one. If you see a robbery at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness? Right? Hey, what did the drummer name his twin daughters? And a one and a two. It's common sense, right? It's just, everybody knows that one. Hey, if you don't pay an exorcist, do you get repossessed? I mean, think about that one, right? Hey, one guy was addicted to hokey pokey, but hey, he turned himself around. You know what I'm saying? He made it through. Struggled through, right? Hey, we all know Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But have you heard of Cole's Law? It's this thinly sliced cabbage that goes great with barbecue. Have you guys ever done that? Yeah, whatever. Hey, is it true when a woman's giving birth, she's literally kidding? Yeah, I need a ride home. Hey, did you hear about that about the kidnapping at school? The teacher woke him up. The kid's napping. I told you, come on, man. Hey, is it true we shouldn't trust heirs because they're always up to something? Right? And here's the interesting fact. In Sweden, speaking of, you know, Denmark, Sweden, right? All government-owned ships are required to have a UPC code printed on the hull. Why? So that when the ships all return to the port, it helps them Scandinavian. Huh? That was for our guest today. And what do you call a hippie's wife? Wait for it. Mrs. Hippie. Makes sense. You know it's true. But how many guys say that's got to be some of the dumbest ones I've told to date? 9 years plus. I tell you what, mission accomplished. Okay. But folks, believe it or not, did you know the Bible's very clear that one day there's an event that's coming to the planet that people will wish was just a bad, dumb, corny joke. Okay. Except it's not. And that day is called the 7-year tribulation. And the only way to escape that is to get saved right now through Jesus Christ. Okay, it's not a joke. Jesus said in Matthew 24, as we're going to read in our opening text today, Lord willing, he said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, i.e. kept it to 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. That's not a joke. That's a bad time, right? You want to make sure that you're saved, okay? And that's what we've been seeing. God's not just God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. He wants people to know, right? So if you're saved, stop goofing off. Get busy serving for Jesus. That's why we're still here. Or if you're not saved, you better take this serious. How many signs has he got to get you? It's getting close. Don't be left behind, okay? And that's why we're going to continue our study. The final countdown, tribulation rising. Signs of the 7-year tribulation is getting close. The rapture happens prior. So, hey, we need to get motivated, okay? Now, we've already seen, as you can see with the picture, the first 20 studies we did was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Then we did a 16-week study on modern technology, all the ways that modern technologies lets us know that we're living in the last days. And the last 19 times, who's counting?
You are.
Thank you, Pastor Bobby. I am. Is the AI invasion. And what we saw is the Bible predicted some 2,600 years ago, 600 more years prior to the book of Revelation by the Apostle John, that here's the sign you're living in the last days. When you see this increase or explosion of information, that's going to lead what Daniel called the end of times. And even the secularists, as we've been seeing, agree with them, except they don't call it end of times. They call it singularity, where they say, here's the real threat that's going on. Nine Christians are saying this. AI is going to take over the planet. It's going to basically rule the planet, and it's going to be the end of mankind. Same thing. They just call it singularity, but it's the same thing that the Bible warned about. So we begin to take a look. Why did we get into this shape? How did this happen in our lifetime? Well, there's a race for AI. They're trying to create this as fast as they can. Corporations, wait till you get to military. I know I keep saying that, but it is freaky. Right? Corporations, businesses, you name it, everybody's trying to build the biggest, baddest AI to rule all the other AIs. Okay, and in spite of the warnings, they're still doing it. Then we took a look at the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data, and the makers of AI, and then the last 16 times, the future of AI. It ain't looking good, folks, exactly like God warned about 2,600 years ago. AI is not just here, it's been here for years, and it's permeating the planet as the new electricity taking over all aspects of society on a global scale. It's doing that in the area of business, finance, convenience, agriculture, communication, education, and the last four times we saw even in the medical community. Four times in a row, that's how much it's happening. We saw that just in time for the Antichrist, they had the leverage to hold over people to say, you better worship me, and if you don't, you're going to die because I'm going to withhold medical treatment that you need in all these disasters in the 7-year tribulation. AI's given him that ability because AI right now is replacing doctors, surgeries. It's assisting in surgeries. It's even doing robot surgeries. You don't need humans. AI's predicting diseases, replacing the administration, which will grant you access to the system if you even need health care or not, or tell you, no, you ain't getting into it. It's controlling your diet, controlling your drugs, and last time, it's even controlling your death. Just as we saw, believe it or not, these elitists are working with Satan and using AI to create a medical global system that's going to lead to the Logan's Run scenario. Remember that movie thing? Anybody watch it during the week? Okay. And folks, as creepy as it is, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Hollywood is preparing us for this freaky future where AI will literally begin to tell you when it's your time to die. It's crazy. It's even built into the Obamacare health system, as we saw last week, the death panels. It's all been exposed, folks, and it's on tape, and that's bad enough, but I'm still preaching, so guess what? There's got to be more, and there is, okay? The eighth area that AI is making an invasion into, speaking of the Antichrist, speaking of death. You know, as we saw last time, John chapter 8, the Antichrist and the false prophet are inspired by Satan. John 8, Jesus said that Satan's what? He's a liar, and he's the father of all lies. He's a murderer. The Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be inspired by Satan. These are going to be the biggest liars, biggest deceivers, biggest murderers this planet has ever seen, right? And believe it or not, folks, he's going to be doing that in this area with transportation. AI right now is starting to control all forms, and I mean all. We're going to expose it today. Forms of transportation. And I believe he's going to use that global system, the Antichrist, to prevent people from fleeing when he gives this order, you worship me. I am God. And if you don't, you're going to die. Right? He'll not only prevent you from fleeing, but he could use this AI global system to take you out if you don't obey. Sounds crazy, but let's go to that text where Jesus said that's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24 is our opening text. Matthew chapter 24. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Starting at verse 15, of course, now what we're dealing with contextually here is this time frame of the 7-year tribulation. And Jesus is talking about certainly the Jewish remnant that's going to be there in the 7-year tribulation, and certainly any Gentile that didn't get saved. You should have got saved today and avoid the whole thing. But this is the context, 7-year tribulation. This is at the midway point where the Antichrist does his dirt. He shows his true colors. He dupes Israel from the very beginning. Remember Daniel 9:27, what starts the 7-year tribulation? The Antichrist makes a covenant with the people of Israel. Anybody wanting to make a covenant with Israel? They're a dime a dozen, man. Okay? And one guy's going to do it, and that's what's going to start. He's going to pull it off, unlike all the other ones, and that's what's going to start the 7-year tribulation. He's going to be a friend, it seems, of Israel, and then he's going to show his true colors. And then he's going to demand worship as a god. The abomination of desolation. But here's what we see here. Verse 15. Jesus speaking, he says, so when you see, again, the midway point, when you see standing in the holy place, the rebuilt Jewish temple, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken up through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea what? Flee. What's flee mean? Scratch yourself. Oh, get those things off me. No. It means run. Hightail it out of there. Run, flee, get out of there. Whoa. Right? Flee to the what? Mountains, right? Get out of those cities, man. Get out of any area. Just head to the hills, right? Flee to the mountains. In fact, he says, don't diddle dally around. Don't delay. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. Why? Because how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Now, why would it be dreadful? When you're trying, you're running for your life, it's kind of hard to push that cart. Even though as cool as it was, seeing this morning, man, that was a cool technique. You had two on one cart, and it was nice there. But anyway, that's right. But no, it's kind of hard, right? And then not only that, not for pregnant mothers. Ladies, when you were pregnant and you're like 9 months popping, like my wife was, two times last time I counted, I got two kids. Okay, the last thing you want to do is go jogging. Last thing you want to do is run a sprint. Right? No, that's right. So he's again, the context is you just got to get out of them, get out of that. And you, in fact, if you made that mistake and you didn't receive Christ your Savior and you're in 7 years tribulation, oh, I hope, ladies, if that's you, I hope you're not pregnant, ma'am. Oh, it's going to, oh. And then he goes on. He says, not only that, he says, it's not just for pregnant women, nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will what? Take place in the what? The winter, right? Slipping and sliding, horrible weather, and you're freezing to death, and you just got to run it. Or even on the Sabbath. Now, that's a key that you're talking to the Jewish people here, not the church. Do we keep the Sabbath? No. But on the Sabbath, you're what? You ain't supposed to be running. You ain't supposed to be. You know, he says, you better just get out of there. Okay? And he reiterates that many different ways there. He says, because here's why. Because then, at that time, the abomination of desolation, there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. In fact, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shorten. You may be seated if you can. But we've seen this text several different times. Jesus clearly says that in the 7 year tribulation at the halfway point, Paul reiterates this and gives even more meat to it. A couple other details in Thessalonians, okay, that this is at the halfway point when the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. He commits what's called the abomination of desolation. He goes up there and says, hey, now worship me. I am God. Okay. Now, are the Jewish people going to do that? No, absolutely not. In fact, frankly, that's when their eyes are open, like, oh boy, have we been duped. Now, the problem is we saw, if you were here last time, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to hunt people down and kill them, anybody who doesn't worship him. Okay? We saw before in Zechariah 13 that another unfortunate Jewish Holocaust is coming. Right? Two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be killed. Revelation 12, one-third of them will be sovereignly protected by the archangel Michael. Okay, they're going to get out of there. They're going to be able to flee. Okay, but two-thirds are going to die. That's horrible. And then we saw last week also prior to this text in Matthew 24, Jesus says anybody who's a follower of God at that time, they're going to come after you and they're going to kill you. In fact, your own family's going to betray you and turn you in. It's going to be a horrible slaughter. And so that's why Jesus said, when this event comes down, now again, you could avoid the whole thing if you get saved today, if you're not saved. Why would you flirt with this? Because this is really coming to the planet. But if you find yourself in that time frame, your only option is to what? You need to get out of there. You need to flee. You need to run. You need to just pray that nothing will hinder you. Don't pause. Don't go back to your house. Don't say, I better go get some food. You better just run. Get out of there. Why? Because a huge mega slaughter is about to take place from the biggest murderer this planet has ever seen that will make what Hitler did look like child play. That's what he's going. That's what he's saying there, okay? And believe it or not, as we saw the last four times, I think the medical community could be used for him to do his dirty, murderous deeds. But I believe in this text, when you understand the technology, that he could also use the transportation system to do it as well. And he could use the transportation to prevent you from fleeing in the first place and kill you and knock you out. Or he could use the transportation itself in the industry to kill you. And we're going to see that today. Okay, but again, this is on a global basis, right? How's he going to do that? How's he going to control the transportation, right? Because it's simple. I mean, it's fine. If I, you know, the resistor, I don't need Jesus. If this happens in the 7 year tribulation, and then I'm just going to hop in my car, my truck, I'll get on a bus, a subway. You ain't going nowhere. The system that is being built right now, you aren't going, he just pushes a button and it's all shut down or it becomes weaponized. I know that sounds crazy, but let's begin to tear it apart. The first way, it's not coming, it's already being done. We're being conditioned to accept this reality, but AI is controlling all forms of transportation, starting with personal transportation, okay? And again, once, as we saw, like the other areas, that AI gets us to, before it takes over total control, it's a step-by-step process to get us used to having AI make those decisions for us, and then it'll take over everything. And it's the same thing, right? For instance, right now, it's been out for years. There's AI apps out there that will do all kinds of things for you in your personal transportation, right? Let's take a look at just a few that are out there, okay? And it warms us up to having AI just control the whole thing. There's Ada, that's an AI chatbot that helps you navigate and make decisions for travel. There's Emma, that's an AI that automatically calculates and adds meeting travel time for you. There's ETA, an AI that helps manage travel itineraries and meetings for you. There's Five AI, that's an AI system for autonomous vehicles that can work anywhere. There's Hello Goodbye, that's an AI that books complex trips with simple speech for you, and that's really convenient, huh? And Mezi, that's an AI that helps with booking flights, hotels, restaurant reservations, and more. You know, all the things that go along when you decide to travel and transport yourself around. There's Nexar, that's an AI dash cam that helps you drive safer, right? It's always on, always watching you. It's telling you how to drive. Now, before that came along, when you get married... Now, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Love you, honey. But is it just me? But why is it that the GPS always have a lady's voice? Is that just me, men? Is that just me? I went there, didn't I? Okay, never mind. I just dug the hole. Let's just move on. Anyway, so the thing is, watching you wherever you go, it's AI, right? We've been used to this. AI can tell us what to do, how to drive better. I mean, we're still doing the driving. But it's giving us all these improvements and tips, and it'll take care of all the other things, you know, so while you're driving, you know, book the hotel, where's the gas, it'll do all that for you. And we're used to that, but that's just phase one. It's gone from AI apps that will help you while you drive to driverless cars that are completely controlled by AI. And that's been here for a while. In fact, most people don't realize that AI, or if you will, driverless cars, they've actually been around for a while. In fact, I didn't know this until I got into the research. Even as far back as 1920s, they had radio remote control cars, and that was pushed by Tesla, Nikola Tesla, who was a huge inventor on that. And speaking of Tesla, where it really began to take off in our lifetime is with Elon Musk and his AI car company called what? Tesla, right? As you can see, not with radio waves, but AI controlling the whole system with satellite technology. Right? And we're familiar with that. We've been familiar with that. It's not new anymore, right? It's a warming us up, getting us used to the ultimate end game where AI takes over all aspects of transportation, okay? Now, again, Tesla, most people don't realize, they're just one. They're just one of a plethora of AI car, automated car, driverless car manufacturers around the world. And they are building these things on a massive scale. This is where everything is heading in a massive scale. In fact, they say a whole new revolution is taking place, okay, with the manufacturers, okay? In fact, of all entities, everybody's getting in on this cash cow. Of all entities, shocker, who also is big on AI, as we've seen before in other studies, Google. Google is huge. Google's one of the front runners in creating these driverless cars. In fact, they want to create a system of driverless vehicles, even beyond cars, that they call Waymo, W-A-Y-M-O. And that's supposed to stand for a new way of moving forward. In other words, Google literally is building a system where AI will control all forms of transportation. Let's take a look at their little promo video.
Say hello to Waymo, the world's most experienced driver. The Waymo driver is what we call our self-driving technology. It has over a decade of real-world experience and has driven millions of miles. With Waymo One, we can make it safer and easier for you to get around, so you can spend more time doing what you love. And with Waymo Via, the same driver with the same deep experience can also deliver your packages or save you a trip to the dry cleaners. Or if you run a business, Waymo Via can help you transport whatever you need, making sure shipments arrive right when they're supposed to. This is the Waymo driver, a driver that's reimagining transportation for all of us.
Not just all of us. What did it purposely end on? A picture of the what? Globe. They want to build this system, and not just want to, they're building this system. They're just one manufacturer. There's tons of them. That they're going to take over the whole transportation system. You saw it wasn't just cars, it's what? This system, Waymo, can also what? Deliver packages. It could do driverless trucks and things of that nature. And in fact, for those, you think, well, okay, fine. If I'm in the seven-year tribulation, if I'm stubborn, I don't think I need Jesus, and I'm in the seven-year tribulation, then fine. I won't get one of these driverless cars. You know what? If I need to flee, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do the old-fashioned way, right? Just get on the side of the road. I'm going to hitch a ride with the semi. No, I'm telling you, folks, all transportation means all transportation. They're getting rid of the human element completely. You saw, and of course that's a little cartoon animation thing, but even semi-trucks is what they're building with this. Yeah, semi-trucks, that's crazy. They can crash into... Folks, our state, Nevada, has been for years one of the biggest testing grounds for unmanned semi-truck experimentation, because we're a perfect environment. We're in the middle of nowhere in the desert, right? And they've got this thing perfected. In fact, what's happening is they're not coming... They're already being utilized, and not just here in Nevada, but around the United States and around the world. In fact, the news is now picking up on this, and they're basically saying, next time you're driving down the freeway, you might want to look over at that semi, because there ain't no person in it, right? Watch this. This is nuts.
It's no secret Houston's highways are choked with traffic, but here's something you may not know. The semi in the lane next to you may not have a driver behind the wheel.
Yeah, Channel 2 anchor Owen Conflenti explains how the future of the trucking industry is now.
The future of trucking is now, as autonomous, or should I say driverless, semi-trucks are rolling down Texas highways every day. One of the companies leading the way says the goal is fuel efficiency and safer roads.
Autonomous trucks don't text, they don't drive drowsy, they don't drive distracted. They are always focused on the road, and they are always prioritizing safety first. One of the first things I did when I joined this company was to talk to the engineering team and to make sure on the engineering roadmap we had a way to be able to honk the horn when kids and other motorists made the universal signal asking us to do so.
That's kind of weird, but that's kind of convenient, though. Have you guys noticed that? Remember growing up when you could see a semi truck and you did that thing, and they always knew what? To blow the horn. Not now. I don't know. They're selfish. They don't care. I don't do it anymore. Listen, these trucks are already out there. Did you know that? They're already on the road across America. Did you know that? Most people have no clue. They're already out there. You need to start looking around. But not only that, that means AI is driving the whole thing. There's no human. But they got a program that it's apparently watching you, because it will recognize when you do this. Isn't that crazy? And blow the horn. That's how far advanced this is, folks, okay? They don't need humans for anybody. Trucks, cars, you name it, okay? In fact, speaking of trucks honking the horn at you, I hope nobody hijacks this system and then they're going to use those big trucks to chase you down and try to kill you. Remember this movie? You guys watch this one? Watch this.
Please,
come on, back in the bus. Good old Dennis Weaver, remember him? Wow, duel. Don't you hate it when that happens? I mean, you're just trying to go to the restaurant, man. Here comes that semi-truck chasing you down, trying to kill you. I'm just saying. That was made 1971, 50 years ago. Isn't that wild? It's like, once again, Hollywood, what do you know that we don't know? What are you preparing us for? But think about this kind of a system, and you know, that was, of course, a movie, but what's the reality? There are right now, all across America and around the world, driverless cars, driverless trucks. And that system can be hacked into. And let's say you're a murderous guy and a liar and deceiver like the Antichrist, and somebody doesn't do what you said. You know what he could do? He could push a button, and he could create that scenario in mass all over the world and take people out. if you have the audacity to try to flee. If you think that's crazy, folks, I'm telling you, where it's headed is just that. And we'll prove that in a second. But again, the driverless vehicles, Tesla started it in 2015. Been around for a while, even far as the 20s, but now they're pulling it off. 2015, but man, it's already here. In fact, he's not the only one. Again, or Google, right? Ford's getting in on it. GM, Hyundai, Toyota, Honda, Volkswagen. 40 companies right now around the world. 40 companies are building en masse these automated vehicles, including trucks, okay? And they're spending buku bucks. They're dumping all their eggs in this basket, so to speak, right? Watch this, okay? Right now, self-driving car research costs $16 billion, not million, billion dollars. They're spending big bucks on this. And folks, that's just cars. That's not counting the trucks and all the other stuff that we're going to see here in just a second. Now, speaking of cars, they're already preparing us to say, hey, okay, let's just have AI do everything, including your race car races. They're calling them AI. Kid you not. This is the actual article. They're calling them AI robo races for Formula One cars. Right? And because that's the speeds that they could reach with even electric vehicles and things of that nature. But it's much safer because we don't want a human to die, and that does happen, and blah, 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 blah. But every kind of vehicle you can think of, even a race car, they don't need humans for that anymore, okay? And that's right. I had to throw this one in there for you stubborn people, unfortunately. I don't need Jesus. I'm telling you what. You know, if it's seven-year tribulation, I find myself in there because I refuse to accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to get in one of these driverless vehicles. I'm not going to own one of those. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to try to hitch a ride on a semi. I'm not going to do that. I won't even go near those race cars. I won't go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get in my golf cart. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my golf cart. It's faster than running, all right? And I'm just going to get out. No, you won't, because even AI is taking over that. I'm telling you, folks, every form of transportation you can think of is now being taken over. This one's called Evo, okay? Evo, okay, is the name up there. If you look real close, the seat is actually a little robot there. It's called Evo, Intelligent Vehicle Operator. But folks, on and on it goes. I'm telling you, every form of basically any kind of vehicle, personal transportation, not coming. It's already being taken over by AI, not just in the United States, but around the world. And that system, I'll demonstrate to you, can be hacked into in case somebody wanted to prevent everybody from fleeing. Think about it. Oh, no, we ain't going to worship you. No way. En masse, all you have to do is push a button. The whole system shuts down. You ain't going nowhere. And you don't think he won't use that? It's being built. But again, there's the other option. Okay, well, fine. I'll just use public transportation. No, you won't. You really think he hasn't thought of that? When I mean all forms of transportation, it's all. It ain't just your private vehicles. Not just cars and trucks and even race cars and golf carts. Every piece of transportation you can think of. I'm talking a bus, a taxi, a subway, a train, even planes are being automated. You don't need people anymore. And again, we have been conditioned in the public transport little by little, step by step, to get us used to having AI take it over. And the first way they did it was with apps. Once again, same thing. You might start to see a pattern. AI apps that will connect us not just with your private transportation, but even public transportation. There's an app for everything, right? In case you want to utilize that, right? First of all, there's Aura Robotics. That's an AI self-driving shuttle for campuses and corporate parks. No humans needed. Dispatch, that's an AI fleet of autonomous vehicles for pedestrian spaces, right? Don't need humans. Mobileye, that's an AI self-driving vehicles for industry purposes. There's Nato, that's an AI system that gives your fleet self-driving capabilities. So again, you think, oh, I got to go out and buy all these. No, you don't. You can pop it on existing transport vehicles and AI will take it over for you. Nutonomy, that's an AI software for driverless fleets. And of course, there's Shield, that's an AI autonomous unmanned system for civil and defense. Wait till you see what they're doing in the military. Okay. Uber, right? That's a household word now. What is it? It's an AI autonomous vehicle program, an app to hail a personal driver. And who doesn't use that? Remember when it first came out a few years back? Oh, that's kind of weird. Those young millennials, everybody's using that now. Some form of what? I don't get on. Who calls on the phone anymore? You use your phone with the app and hail a person to come drive you where you want. But who's in charge? It's AI. Okay. We've all used that. Okay. But listen, believe it or not, folks, these same companies that started off with the app, including Uber, that we could use AI app to get a person driver to you as a public transport,
They're already taking the next step. Now, they're getting rid of the humans altogether. You can use the same app to just bring a car with no human at all. I'm telling you, it's a step-by-step approach. Let's take a look at this.
This is an Uber, but it's not driven by some guy trying to make extra money off his own car. This Uber drives itself. The ride-sharing giant came to Pittsburgh for its latest disruption, the country's first autonomous taxi service. Select Uber users can now ride in self-driving cars.
Here we go.
Inside, riders are greeted by a tablet that shows them how the car works and how it sees the world. Uber plans to introduce a fleet of autonomous Volvo SUVs early next year, but it's using Ford Fusions for the time being. Over bridges, down narrow streets, around jaywalkers, the car handles just about everything. The City of Bridges is happy to host the robo-revolution. You sit back and let someone else, or something else, take care of the driving. And no small talk required.
Oh, now that's a benefit. Because when you use the AI app, the Uber thing, to call that, what's the person always wants to talk. They have to say something. You're just trying to pass the day. You just want to get to the restaurant or whatever your destination is, but I don't want to talk to you. You're a stranger.
Not anymore. Because we don't need people anymore to drive any kind of vehicle. Step by step, folks. First, you got used to having AI bring that person driver. Now there is no driver. But AI's controlling the whole thing. Now they're controlling the, getting it to you and then controlling driving you. Okay? They're calling it the robo revolution in public transportation. But it's a good thing we don't see that. That's Pittsburgh. Ain't going on here in Vegas, is it? Yeah, sarcasm makes the point. Folks, it's already here. It's been here for quite some time. In fact, listen to this, whether you realize or not, this is Uber's not the only one doing this. Aptiv self-driving vehicles tops 100,000 rides already in Las Vegas. These, no people involved. Just here comes a freaky driverless car. But, and it's not just, oh, that's just for those only eclectic people. No, people are getting used to it. It's a step-by-step conditioning approach. Now you don't even have humans at all. And again, they're not the only ones. There's Uber, there's Lyft, there's Aptiv, there's Robo Taxi, there's Zooks, Voyage, a whole tons of company. And again, they started out as an app calling the human driver, but they're now making that next switch, no human driver required. Okay? And again, I'm telling you folks, everybody's getting in on GM, BMW, Honda, Ford, you name it. And taxis are just the beginning. Again, we're on not just private, public transportation, right? Okay, they are saying everything, buses, trolleys, subways, trains, they're calling it, quote, the next wave of public transit. I'm telling you, the human element is going to be removed from every single one of these. Okay, and again, what's the point? Have fun trying to flee. Put yourself in the 7-year tribulation. You made the biggest mistake of your life. You said, I don't need Jesus Christ. Bang, the rapture happened. You're stuck, left behind. You somehow survived the first half of God's judgments and the sealed judgments. Here comes the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist says, worship me. You say, oh, no, I ain't going to do that. No, sirree. And you go, oh boy, am I in big trouble now? He's going to kill me. Where are you going to go? How are you going to flee? Think about it, folks. It's all being laid in, and these are events in the 7-year tribulation, the rapture happened prior. I'm telling you, everything's coming to pass. Now, what they're pitching to you and I, okay, is what's called smart pods, as this new wave of public transit. And there's no vehicles, they're just smart pods. Now, as we've seen in our studies, oodles of time, when you see the word smart before something, what do you supplant it with? Big Brother. And that's exactly what this is. This is Big Brother transportation. And they want you and I right now to get used to, you don't need humans anymore. Private, public transport, whatever. You can just go around in this thing and your life is going to be great. You have fun with your friends. You could take a nap. It'll make coffee for you. Life would be great if we all just ride around in smart pods. No humans whatsoever. In fact, watch this. Here's their little promo video. Thank you. What a world. What a wonderful utopia. Just hop in that smart pod. All your worries go away. Everybody's happy. Jokey makes coffee for you. Take a nap. I mean, read a book. And just That's how they want to pitch it. But, and did you notice? It's something you could, what we're already used to. You can use an app to hail that thing to come. You could use your phone to make payments. But as we saw before, you could lose your phone and, you know, why don't we just switch to, microchips, and that microchip will, that's where it's headed, folks. But they got it all figured out, folks. Get rid of the human element. Where are you going to flee? At any time of crisis. Whoever controls the transportation system really controls a lot about the human element. And that is happening on a global scale. And again, you think, okay, fine. And again, for the unfortunate, stubborn people out there. Okay, I'm fine. I won't use a driverless car, driverless truck. I'm not going to use a robo-taxi. I'm not going to hop on a smart pod, right? But you know what I'm going to do? You know what? I can't do taxis or buses or... I'm going to jump on the train, man. That's what I'm going to do. Get on a train. Get out of town. No, you ain't. You ain't going nowhere. Every aspect of transportation, they're getting rid of the humans, including trains, as you can see here. AI is controlling the trains, right? Okay, fine. Then I'm just going to hop on a boat. No, you won't. AI is controlling the ships. Every piece of transportation on a global basis with satellite technology that, last time I checked, surrounds the planet. You ain't going to, fine. Okay, I won't get on that cargo ship, but I'm going to hop on Carnival. No, you're not. Even cruise ships. They're now having AI drive the thing. You don't need humans anymore. Okay, fine. Then I'm just going to hop on the plane. No, you're not. AI is now starting to take over planes. And they're also pitching it because, the case of hijacker comes, that there's nobody to hijack, right? Because, and you can seal that door and they can't get in there. There's no human. They can't bribe with a gun to their head and say, you better take. There's no human at all flying that plane. And not just passenger planes, but even military planes. I keep saying this, but wait till you see what's going on in the military. Everything's being unmanned in the military, even fighter jets, the whole nine yards, okay? But you ain't going nowhere. Public, personal transport, everything is being controlled by AI. I firmly believe this is going to be a serious tool that the Antichrist will use to keep people from fleeing. And I think he could use that same transportation system as a weapon. Right? Let's say somehow you could get into some sort of a vehicle. Right? Couldn't he use another vehicle to take you out? But it was just an accident. Who would know? Right? Now, if you think that's crazy, once again, Hollywood, I think, has been preparing us. Remember the movie Total Recall? 30 years ago. The other one was 50 years ago. And Arnold was trying to flee. But what was the form of transportation in that movie? Automated transportation, right? And there was no human in there. There was a little robot, okay? But again, that means somebody can control it to not only keep you from fleeing, but it could also be used to crash on purpose and take you out. Let's take a look at that movie scene again.
Where am I?
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in. Hello. I'm Johnny Cat. Where can I take you tonight?
Drive. Drive.
Would you please repeat the destination?
Oh, anywhere. Just go. Go!
Please state a street and number. I'm not familiar with that address. Enjoy the ride!
Where am I? I can't do Arnold. Enjoy that ride in 7-year tribulation. Jesus said, your only option is to flee. You should have gotten saved to avoid the whole thing. Your only option is to flee. Let's say somehow you could even get into one of these AI vehicles. You ain't going nowhere. Antichrist pushed a button and shut the whole global system down. Or let's say somehow you're a computer geek and you figure out a way to hijack. He could, okay, I'll let you go. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use that vehicle to take you out. And you think, okay, now Pastor Billy, you're getting a little bit too far. You're getting into the wacky conspiracy theory stuff here. I get it. I can see how one guy could tap in the whole system and shut you down. But he ain't going to use that same AI global transportation system to kill you. Yeah, they are. In fact, folks, most people don't realize this. That discussion about allowing AI unmanned driverless vehicles kill people, that's been a discussion for years now. And let me do that. AI, they are saying, like it, lump it, leave it or not, is going to decide who's going to live and who's going to die. Here's just a couple proof points of that. Let's take a look.
Keith, this is an incredibly scary thought. Explain sort of what's involved. How do scientists even think that they can teach a robot how to make an ethical decision to tell my car that it should swerve off the side of the road down a cliff instead of colliding with a school bus full of children?
Yeah, this is an issue, Olivia, that's really bedeviling the auto industry and Google, who's also developing their own driverless car. They've figured out the technology. They know how to allow cars to drive for us, but they can't really figure out these philosophical questions like the one you just described. And that's something they're now working literally with philosophers and ethicists on to try and determine what do you do when, you know, a crash is unavoidable and your car has to decide between the lesser of two evils, hitting a school bus full of children or going up on a sidewalk and hitting an individual. They don't have all the answers yet.
There's some interesting questions. I mean, let's just say you've got a self-driving car and you're going down the street and a three-year-old kid runs out in front of the car and there's another car coming the other direction with four people in it, and the computer is going to make the decision as to whether to hit the kid or hit the other car. You know, I'm not sure who gets sued under those. You're going to kill somebody. And it will be the computer that makes the decision in a nanosecond. And it'll be interesting to know who programs that computer and what their thoughts are about the values of human lives and things.
Yeah, especially if his name is the Antichrist. Who's going to make the decision? Who's going to live or die? This system could be hijacked. And maybe he could purposely, not just in case there's, well, I've got the lesser of two evils, quote unquote. Maybe he'll just use the same system to take you out. Again, it's the perfect crime. Who would know? Right? They just had to choose that guy to go off the cliff because there was a bus. Who's going to prove it? Who's going to disprove it? Now, if you think that wouldn't happen, they even admit, I kid you not, they're getting very blunt with this, AI will decide in this future transportation who lives and who dies. Watch this. Should the self-driving car kill the baby or the grandma? It's out there for looking to the, well, this is what's, they're being built. And they admit, if that gets in, this whole system, controlled by satellites with AI, quote, is vulnerable, this is a direct quote, is vulnerable to attacks, which means cars could be weaponized in mass. Now you're back to Mr. Weaver. Maybe you're not even in a car. Maybe you're running. Cars could take you out. Trucks could take you out. Subway takes you out. Plane will crash right on you. He could access his whole... It sounds freaky, folks, but this is what's being built. And I think the biggest liar, deceiver, satanic, Satan's man on the planet, Antichrist, false prophet, the biggest murders we've ever seen, I think they're going to use this system. Do you think they've ever read this verse, Matthew 24? Did you know that Satan probably reads the Bible? The Antichrist very well could be alive and well on the planet. You think he hasn't come across this yet? I think he's trying to build that system to keep people from doing what Jesus said to do, flee and get out of there now. But the good news is you can avoid the whole thing if you just get saved right now. God's made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Speaking of transportation, speaking of fleeing, trying to get out of there, this is freaky. How many guys saw that movie Minority Report? With Tom Cruise. I'm telling you, Hollywood is not just entertainment, it's propaganda. It's a preparation tool. Because the next thing that AI has taken over is criminal investigation. And believe it or not, with all this information, the faces, their whole profile system that they're building on us from a multitude of angles that we've seen before in our Big Brother studies, AI now is developing, just like in that movie Minority Report, what's called pre-crime. And AI will now, and this is, and their system that are already being put into place, that they are determining with AI who's going to commit the next crime before they even do it, and they're going and rounding them up, just like that movie. That's crazy. But we're out of time. We'll have to get to that, Lord willing, next time. But the point for you and I is, what's this? Talk about a cliffhanger. That's right. that's the next one. What's the point for you and I? Folks, I'm telling you, every jot, every tittle, every nook and cranny in the scripture is coming to pass. Why? Because God always gets it right. And why does he tell us these things? So we could look at our day. We don't know the exact day nor the hour, but we go, whoa, look at this. It's getting close. And so as Christians, it's a time to freak out and run. No, it's a time to get excited. Because we leave prior at the rapture before all this stuff takes place. But we need to finish strong. Don't get distracted. Don't get worldly. Jesus, when the rapture happens, he's going to find you doing something. On your walk with Jesus Christ right now, he sees it all. What's he going to find you doing? Goofing off? Sinning? You still, after all these years of being saved, you still have not led not even one soul to Jesus Christ? Whoa. Is that how you want him to find you? Or being a faithful bride? Occupying until he comes, letting people know there's a way out of this mess. His name is Jesus Christ. And speaking of which, as we close, maybe that's you. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know your heart. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. But if you're not born again, you need to get saved right now. The Bible says God is holy. We are not. The wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die and go straight to hell, myself included, because we're not perfect like God. That's what the word holy means. It means without sin. We've all sinned. And the scripture is very clear. God's willing to forgive us through Jesus Christ, but the gift of eternal life is through who? Through Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins. But you could stare at that cross, you can acknowledge it in your head. It don't do you no good until you receive it by faith in your heart. Right? But then sometimes we don't even want to admit that we're in that dilemma. Yeah, we are. God's not deaf and blind. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who created us. And so he's trying to help us to admit that so we would receive the remedy through Jesus. And that's why he gave us the Ten Commandments, right? You know, you think you're perfect. You don't need Jesus, right? You're going to get to heaven all on your own. It's not as bad. We've all blown it. Ninth commandment's what? You shall not bear false witness. What's that mean? Lying. Prove to God that you're holy like him without sin. Just all you got to do your whole life is never once tell a lie. How many of you guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. We do this every time, guys. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just lied. Because we've all told a lie, right? Bible says you shall not steal. You think you're so holy, you're getting to heaven all on by your own britches, right? Don't ever once steal. Don't take... How many guys ever stolen something? Ever once in your life? Hey, folks, you already told me you're a bunch of liars. All our hands should be gone. Come on, how many times are we going to go through this? That's just 2 out of 10. We can't even keep 2 of the 10 commandments. Can I tell you something? We can't keep none of them. We can't even make it past the first one. No other gods. We worship all kinds of things except for God. Ourselves, money, things, which leads to the next one, no idols. On and on it goes. You know, the Bible says such people as these, liars, thieves, adulterers, murderers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's only one way out of this mess, and that's asking Jesus to forgive you of all your sins. The Bible says you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. What are you waiting for? Do it today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will,
and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.